Hey, Hawkeye fans, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register with a special edition of the Hawk Central podcast, subscriber edition. This is the podcast where I get to introduce you to the new Mark Emmert. And we've seen him, his first article, so he has the best name in sports, Kennington Smith. Full name Kennington Lloyd Smith the third, correct? But Kennington Smith is how you guys will know him, and here he is. Welcome, man. It's good to have you in Iowa City. Good to see you face to face.
It's good to finally be here. Yeah. We've been waiting on this for a long time. We first met back in April, and we've been talking back and forth, and I've been listening to the podcast, trying to get acclimated, but it's good to finally be here. The drive was brutal. Getting up here, it was...
Let's hear about that.
It was like 18 hours. We thought it was going to be around 13 hours. It was me and my parents, so they were in my car. I drove the U-Haul, and we faced every obstacle, you know, construction, accidents, driving long periods of time without any service, having to stop frequently because U-Hauls burn gas like crazy. So it took, you know, almost a full day to get here, but we're here. I'm excited to be here and, you know, just ready to hit the ground running.
Yeah. So to be clear, Kennington comes to us from SEC country, originally from the Atlanta area, correct?
Yes.
And had been working the last 3 years in Anderson, South Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, give the folks a little background about what you had been doing prior to this, taking on the Hawkeyes reporter role.
Yeah, I was based in upstate South Carolina in the Anderson-Greenville area, covering high school sports there. So covering 12 high schools year-round. We're right there in the backyard of Clemson University, so a lot of our athletes play at Clemson or just play in-state at South Carolina, Coastal Carolina, Wofford, colleges like that. I was covering the high school beat. There were opportunities where I was able to do things on the college side, especially last summer during the height of the Black Lives Matter movement, height of the pandemic, where I was able to get on the Feinbaum Show on SEC Network and was able to build a pretty strong relationship with Paul Feinbaum, and he's the one who coined the name Kennington Lloyd Smith III, an award winner and the best name in the industry. So thank you to Paul Feinbaum for that. I'm going to take that and run with it, of course.
Definitely, yeah.
But there were, you know, a lot of cool stories in the upstate, and, you know, that's something that's always going to be a part of me. And one thing especially that I'm looking forward to for basketball season is getting a chance to see Bryce McGowan, who is a five-star, a top 20 player, Jordan Brand Classic, Iverson Classic, South Carolina Gatorade Player of the Year, the whole nine, who committed to Nebraska. His older brother, Trey McGowan, who is a highly touted prospect, is already there. So they're going to share a backcourt. So I'm definitely excited to see that in person when the Hawkeyes play the Cornhuskers later on this year.
Yeah, well, you may have to elbow me out for that Nebraska road trip in basketball, if there is one. No, it's we were just, as we introduced Kennington here, I mean, we were... His name quickly rose to the top of the list. You know, he works in where he worked before, was in the Gannett USA Today family, so very, very, very highly thought of throughout the company. I mean, I'm going to say it now. Can we, you know, didn't want to like give you a big head on the interview, but kind of seen as a rising star, you know, so in sports journalism. So we're very pumped to have him. And obviously, one thing you didn't mention, which we talked about a lot during. I wouldn't even call it an interview, but just our time together when you were in town, which happened to be during the Iowa spring game weekend, but was just, you also had time with the Atlanta Falcons, went to Georgia.
Yes.
And covered some Georgia Bulldogs for the Rivals Network as well. So, a lot of good, any cool experiences you can share, also covered in Olympics. So, I mean, this guy, you know, a good resume. And excited to tap into everything you can bring. But any good stories from your days covering Georgia Bulldogs, Atlanta Falcons?
The time covering UGA was really interesting. That was in 2017, so that was really when Kirby Smart was starting to get his feet under him as the head coach. So just kind of watching him in his early days, just trying to build a culture there was really cool. That was the point where they were really putting a lot of money into the indoor practice facilities and stadium renovations and all of those things. So I was able to cover that a great deal, and I did a piece on, I guess you can kind of call it an arms race, especially in the SEC, and even you can count the ACC with schools like Clemson, where schools are just trying to outdo each other. Everybody wants to have the biggest scoreboard. Everybody wants to have the biggest indoor practice facility. Everybody wants to have the best nutrition table. And just to see, you know, Georgia puts in $30 million, so Alabama's got to put in $40 million, so that means LSU puts in, you know, $50 million. So just to kind of watch the schools try to outdo each other, and recruiting is getting, you know, more and more competitive, starting at a younger age. So just getting a chance to tell those stories and examine those things was really cool. I was able to go to the Paralympic Games in 2016 with Rio de Janeiro through the University of Georgia. Our school, as well as Penn State, our sports media programs, we had a competition, I guess you can call it, amongst sports media students, where we had to go out and cover a track meet, and, you know, whoever had the best story was going to Rio. So I was fortunate to be chosen for that. So we were down there for a few weeks, and it was really, we were really there as true reporters, going out to different venues, watching different sports, trying to find stories to be published by AP and their affiliates. So getting a chance to have that international experience and work in those high pressure situations was really cool. It was a really fun experience. Working with the Falcons was a truly eye-opening experience, because me being a young journalist, and at that point I had just graduated from, you know, University of Georgia, everybody thinks as a young reporter that you're just ready to walk out of college and walk into a major beat, and it looks easy on TV and it looks easy on Twitter when you see reporters asking questions, but it's a completely different game when you walk into the locker room and Julio Jones is right in front of you, and Matt Ryan is right in front of you, and Devontae Freeman is right in front of you, and you almost get starstruck, like, oh wow, like they're really right here, and I have to go out there and walk up and not be a fan and be a reporter and say, you know, Julio, can I have a few minutes of your time? Devontae, can I have a few minutes of your time? So getting a chance to have that experience definitely opened up to my eyes to knowing that, okay, maybe I'm not ready to just walk into a pro beat right out of college, but I was able to get some good experience, and definitely navigating how pro athletes, it is very interesting now when you think about athletes like Naomi Osaka pulling out of media availabilities and having to deal with that at the Falcons, when you have athletes like Devontae Freeman who are known to skip out on media availabilities. And there was a time where I tried to get him for an interview. He was like, oh, hold on, bro, I'm about to go get taped up. And then he never comes back. And, you know, having to deal with those things and having to work my one and, you know, kind of build some credibility in the locker room so athletes would sit down with me and talk to me. And I ended up getting that sit down with Devontae Freeman. He was really cool about it. But it took some time. So just getting a chance to get those experiences and all of those things that I've mentioned have kind of built me up to the point now where, you know, I feel like I'm ready to take on the Big Ten beat and everything that it has to offer.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. So kind of wanted to get your take, I guess, say on you've been in the SEC, grew up. Did you grow up a Georgia fan?
Yes.
Georgia Bulldogs fan?
Yes.
So you have probably plenty of familiarity of going to their games, going to SEC games, et cetera. What from what you've seen so far, you were able to go to the spring game back on May 1st. Now, that's not indicative of a Kinnick atmosphere, let me tell you. But just what can you tell us about, like, SEC atmospheres and stuff like that might – you're interested, I guess, to see what might be different in the Big Ten or how it compares.
Yeah, I want to – well, I know that – well, I've definitely seen in the early part of my job how passionate the Iowa fans are. You know, blowing up my Twitter and following me and just welcoming me to the area and being out here. And one thing I'll say that Iowa City differs from Athens especially is, well, me and my parents are up in Iowa City on our visit, and now they're helping me still move in. When we walk into the Walmarts, we just see Iowa flags everywhere. We see, you know, people walking around in Iowa jerseys and people walking around in Iowa shirts. And of course, Athens is a Georgia town, but it's not to that level where it's just, you know, everywhere you go, it's just in the Walmarts, it's Georgia flags hanging from, you know, the ceilings and all of that. So I see that the fan bases here are really passionate. I would love to see a Big Ten tailgate down south, especially at Georgia, people bring, like, it looks like they bring their home furniture out, like, onto the lawn. And, like, you see, like, couches that you would see from your living room out there, and they bring their TVs, and they have the entire nine set up. So I want to see, you know, what that atmosphere looks like in the Big Ten. I want to see, you know, just the fans on the game day. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, Kinnick Stadium at full capacity. And one thing that definitely stuck out to me is how close the fans are to the sidelines. It's like right on top of the team and the opposing players. So that's something that I'm definitely looking forward to. And, you know, just getting a chance to see kind of like the contrast in play styles from the Big Ten to the SEC. You know, growing up watching SEC football, it was the, you know, the smash mouth, you know, line up, run the ball, you know, down the field and try to pound the ball and play good defense. And especially over the last several years, we've seen the SEC kind of, I don't know if I want to say shy away from that, but kind of transition more into spread offenses and, you know, scoring a lot of points and, you know, wide receivers running wide open down the field. And that's something that Georgia definitely adopted last year specifically. So, you know, just seeing, you know, the contrast of styles and seeing, you know, more traditional smash mouth football up here. And my old editor and professor at University of Georgia, D. Orlando Ledbetter, said that I'm going to get a chance to see some real football in the Big Ten.
So
getting a chance to see that on a daily basis and really, you know, tap into Big Ten football on, you know, a much wider scale. Growing up in the South, you know, of course we watch the SEC, but, you know, as casual Big Ten watchers, really the only teams that we follow really closely are probably like Ohio State and Michigan.
Sure.
Yeah. Penn State. So getting a chance to see, you know, the full depth of the Big Ten and get that wider scope is something that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, great answer. And that's a topic I think like part of what it's going to be fun about this first season of covering the Hawkeyes together is we can kind of you know, we can get a little bit of an outsider's view on the Hawkeyes and how it compares to SEC football, because you have a really good feel for it. We don't, you know, my job week to week, Big Ten. I mean, we see the SEC on TV, but I think that'll be a fun way to discuss Big Ten football. We're definitely going to see some good games out of the gate with Iowa hosting Indiana, and then you're going to get your first Cy-Hawk exposure this year. And that I'm not even going to tease you, but I mean, I just want you to be like immersed in it, like without too much build up. So it's going to be it's in Ames this year, obviously. The atmosphere is nuts, no matter where that game is. But this is going to be the biggest Cy-Hawk game ever, pretty much. And we say that every 2 years or every year, but Iowa State's good, probably top 10 team. Iowa's maybe knocking on the door of a top 15, top 10 team this year, so should be fun. I do want to talk on this episode, if we can, a little bit about, and I think maybe we'll get into it a little more next week too, but you've been watching some Iowa football games.
Yes.
This guy is very much preparing for this beat, and I really appreciate that, but we'll talk a little bit about that as we go. But I just actually first wanted to just back up, because you brought up your parents a little bit. I got a chance to meet them a couple months ago. Awesome, awesome first impression for me. You seem like you're a very tight-knit family. I believe only child, correct?
Yes,
so
yes.
Maybe give our listeners a little bit more about your personal side of things and you know, anything you want to share about your parents or family or upbringing?
Yeah, so only child. My parents are, you know, just as invested in this, if not more invested than I am. My parents are sports fanatics. That's where I get a lot of my sports love from. There are times where, you know, I'm up in my room and I can hear them talking about, you know, sports and, you know, not just football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, just between them two downstairs, and they're watching a game. They're calling me and we're breaking down Georgia games and we're talking about, you know, what I'm doing on the high school beat, and they're just really tapped in and really supportive about what I'm doing. When they found out about this job, they were more excited about it than I was. Like, they were like, okay, when can we pack up the house? When can we get on the road? When can we get out there? And they're still here. We moved in on Sunday. They're going to be here for a little over a week, but they're going to be up here they're going to be up here a lot. I have a two-bedroom apartment, and they've bought a bed. They bought a TV. My mom bought a workstation to keep up here. So they're going to be up here pretty frequently, and they're going to take long trips. And, you know, we're kind of all in this together. So
that's awesome.
You know, they're really supportive. And, you know, a huge reason why I've been able to, you know, progress in this as quickly as I have. And I'm very thankful for them. And when I was leaving the apartment today, my mom was like, well, let me know, you know, if this is going to be live. I want to listen in and all that. And I'm like, no, it's going to come out a little bit later. So she's definitely going to be listening in. So shout out to mom and dad. I love y'all. And, you know, they're excited for this next phase, you know, just as much as I am.
That's awesome. Number one, what's jumped off the page about Kennington and all of our folks that interviewed him, can tell he's just a good person. You know, I can say that across the table here. That vibe is I think so important. Just looking so much forward to just being working with you on a day to day basis, and I know that our fans appreciate that too. I mean, the Iowa fans are, I think, good judges of character. They like to support those who care about them, and I can tell based on what we've discussed already that you definitely bring a caring and just kind personality to the beat. So I'm just very pumped about that. So another little avenue I wanted to explore here before we talk a little football in our Getting to Know Kennington Smith episode is. You are from the Atlanta area. Are you which is the home of Chick-fil-A, I believe. Is that kind of,
yes.
Is that your go-to place, or am I prejudging things there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A is number one. Zaxby's is definitely up there, which I believe is more of a southern thing because when I
We don't have that here, yeah.
Yeah, I looked it up and there's no one out here. So Chick-fil-A, Zaxby's, Waffle House, absolutely.
Oh, I wish we had a Waffle House.
Oh, there's no Waffle House here.
Not in Iowa City, but there are on the Big Ten beat, so we'll find some.
Okay.
Promise, because I love that place.
All right. Cool.
I went to one in Columbus, actually, the day of the Iowa-Ohio State basketball game this past February 28th. That was a monumental day for the Hawkeye program, winning on the road against the top five team. But okay, so your Chick-fil-A guy. Just so you know, there is one out at Coral Ridge Mall, so we got you taken care of there. Anything else? Let's see. What favorite sports team? We talked about the Bulldogs. You know, you got to kind of check your fandom now in case Iowa ever plays, you know, at Georgia in this college football playoff. You know, that could happen.
It could.
We might be going to Athens, Georgia together for a 6-11 game in the college football playoff in a couple of years.
Right.
But any favorite NFL, baseball, what's your fandom?
I'm all Atlanta except for the NFL. I cheer for the Eagles, me and my dad. I was a Falcons fan growing up at the height of the Vic phenomenon when he was released from prison and signed with the Eagles. My dad is already from that area. He had a slight fandom with the Eagles, so I just hopped on board. It was a perfect fit and have been a fan of them ever since. But other than that, you know, Braves, Hawks, Atlanta United, that is where my affiliations lie. And then, of course, Georgia, all collegiate athletics.
Okay. How about just favorite sport in general?
Probably football.
Football, yeah.
It kind of alternates between football and basketball, but I'll probably say football is number one. College football specifically.
Yeah.
Over the NFL.
Yeah. No, that's what that also stood out during the interview process. It's just Kennington's passion for college football stands out. And you got to have that in this job. And the Hawk Central readers, our fans, I say our fans, I mean Hawkeye fans, they like the minutia. They like to dig in deeper than just the surfacey what happened. And we're excited about that. All right. So, any other, good stories you can share from your upbringing, or do you want to move into football talk?
I guess the only other thing that I would say is a tidbit. I said this in my intro piece, but I DJ.
I wanted to bring that up. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's DJ Octane. That's like my alter ego when I'm
okay.
not in
DJ Octane
journalism space. Yeah, DJ Octane, 93 gas, you know, highly combustible, highly flammable. uncontrollable when it gets to high levels. So that's like my thing outside of journalism. When I was at UGA, I was employed by the athletic department, DJing inside Sanford Stadium, doing recruiting events. So that's another connection I have with UGA athletics. You know, house parties, venue parties, weddings, baby showers, breweries.
Wow.
The whole nine. So my music bag is pretty deep. So if there's anybody listening right now who needs someone to provide some good sounds, please reach out to me.
Yeah, I don't think that's a conflict of interest unless you're doing a Hawkeye thing. As long as you don't do that, I think we're good.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. So your Twitter handle is at Skinny. Tell our folks, it's at Skinny Kenny, correct? Yes. There's an underscore in there somewhere?
Underscore at the end of Kenny.
At the end, okay. At Skinny Kenny underscore. Now, where did that nickname originate? I can see your slender frame here.
Right.
So it's not like one of those opposite things.
Right. Well, that's really what it came down to, just, you know, being skinny.
Being skinny.
When I was in high school, that's been my Twitter handle since I was in high school. So, you know, of course, like when you're young and you start experimenting with different, you know, Twitter handles, you try to land on the right thing. So I just did Skinny Kenny. It's kind of like a rhyme. It's like a slant rhyme. Mm-hmm. I just put an underscore at the end, and it's kind of carried me throughout. When I got to UGA, people actually thought my name was Kenny, because when people, you know, you go to college and people follow your handle, they assume that was like my real name. So it's something that's, you know, followed me throughout. And then when I started working professionally, that was a question that even my parents had, like, are you know, you're going to keep your name? Are you going to change it? Are you going to, you know, try to have like a professional Twitter? But I had a pretty strong following from my Twitter already. When I was at UGA, of course, I was big, you know, in student reporting, and I had a pretty big following, and I wanted to keep that following on that Twitter page. And when I started interviewing for jobs professionally, no one seemed to have a problem with the Twitter name, so I just decided to take it and run with it. So I feel like that's going to be my handle, you know, throughout, and maybe that can just be something that's going to kind of become like a brand, and something that'll just stick with me, like, you know, sitting down with Skinny Kenny, or, you know, oh, there's, you know, Skinny Kenny. And in upstate South Carolina, that was like what I was known as, like coaches, administrators, principals, athletes, parents, you know, like, oh, Skinny Kenny's covering the game today, or, you know, he's doing the story on my son or my daughter. And so that's where it comes from. And I feel like that's something that's going to stick with me. But
nice.
Byline, of course, Kenny is not going to be in like any bylines. It's going to be my full name.
So. Yeah, we will keep it to Kennington out here unless something changes. So.
Right.
All right. So just initial impressions, what you've seen. Tell our listeners, and I do want to actually dive into this a little bit more maybe next week on our radio show, but just give us a little taste of what you've seen, or what you've just early impressions, I guess, as you've watched. I believe you watched either all the games, at least in the condensed version at minimum, from last season, Iowa's 6-2 season. So what kind of jumped off the page from you, just as far as, I don't know, style or how they play, defense, offense, anything that just stuck out to you, like about the team we're diving in to cover here together?
Right. So, when I was interviewing and when I came out here on my visit, I said the first thing I wanted to do was watch all of the games from last season. There were a handful of games that were in full version on YouTube. There were others that were condensed version, like you said, like 20, 25-minute highlights. So I was able to see a pretty good amount. What I saw was a team that was really peaking at the right time. And I would have, you know, loved to have seen them in a bowl game. And I think the biggest part of that was them missing out on those bowl practices leading up to that game. That would have been, you know, a really good time for players to get reps and to get a little more comfortable as a unit. The first few games, I just saw an offense that was just trying to figure things out. I believe that was Spencer Petras' first year as a starter.
Yep.
So first game of the season, it was a little out of sync. Defense was trying to do, you know, what they could to keep him in the game, but the offense just couldn't get enough points together. Second game, running game, couldn't get going. Petras had to throw the ball a lot, which, you know.
That was a storyline, 51 throws against
when
you had a 17-0 lead, but, you know.
Right. So that, you know, obviously isn't the style that they wanted to play. But from week three on, what I saw was a team that figured out how to play when they know that the offense is not the type that is going to, you know, start at the 25 and walk a defense down the field and score. So there was playmaking, you know, all over the field in those last six games. And playmaking just goes beyond, you know, offense. I saw, you know, when you have an offense that is struggling, you need the defense to be able to have a strip sack and flip the field position. You need to have, you know, a punt returner who can, you know, take a punt back and put the team in good field position. You need to have, you know, and sometimes a punter who can, you know, boom a long punt and flip the field and give your defense an opportunity. So that was a lot of what was happening in the last six games. The defense was creating a lot of turnovers. There were plays where, you know, there were pick sixes, there were strip sacks that were taken back for touchdowns, and just putting the offense in a position to where, give them a short field. I saw Petras was definitely a lot more comfortable in those short fields. He was gaining confidence throughout the season, and there weren't, you know, a lot of necessarily, you know, big plays down the field where he was stretching the field vertically. But, you know, he was comfortable and confident in the throws that he was making. Receivers were starting to make a lot of plays. Tyler Goodson obviously was a huge part of what they were doing offensively, and he was really the, you know, a main big play guy from the backfield who was able to get long runs and put the offense in scoring position. So I'm really interested to see what it's going to look like in year two of Petras starting. I want to see.
We think he'll start.
I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I want to see, you know, maybe some more opportunities for some vertical passing games.
Yeah.
I did like what I saw with Tyler Goodson and kind of like that wildcat package. And mm-hmm. I want to see if there is going to be a little more variation to that, if they're going to add a few more things to that package. Defense, I really can't say much about the defense. I know they're going to be replacing some guys on the defensive line.
Yeah, D-line will be the big question mark this year, but they get back. They return basically the whole back seven. Mm-hmm. I mean, essentially. They replaced basically Nick Neiman with Jack Campbell. So that's actually an upgrade on the defensive side. So, yeah, good analysis, man. You definitely captured a good feel for how last season went. It was a team that did some things we haven't seen Iowa football do much of, and I don't necessarily think the rest of the nation took much notice of it because Iowa started 0-2, kind of played itself out of the Big Ten West race right away. But then, you know, you beat Michigan State by 42. You go up into Minnesota and win essentially 35-0. I mean, they got a late touchdown there. And then go into Happy Valley, win by 20. Beat Wisconsin, your rival, finally, by three touchdowns in the season finale in the snow. So a lot of good things happened. Like you said, they were peaking at the right time if there would have been a 12-team playoff.
Right.
If they could, you know, if that was a team that if you could get that 12th seed or 11th seed, now they wouldn't have, I don't think. They would have been close if they had gotten that Champions Week game. They would have been close, I think, to that, getting that. They ended up finishing 15th in the polls, but part of that's because they didn't play a bowl game. So, you know, it was a fun ride. Appreciate your perspective. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about that on next week's show. I think I'll go to the closeout music unless you wanted to add anything else.
I'm excited to get going. I am so ready to get the ball rolling, and I just appreciate everybody who's tweeted me, everybody who's DM'd me, everybody who's followed me, who showed support mm-hmm. and has welcomed me to the beat. You definitely have helped make this feel like home already, and I'm just, you know, ready to really dive in and to feel comfortable in the beat and tell some really great stories and tell some really cool stories and, you know, bring some things to the beat that are going to have readers and subscribers excited.
Yeah, well, welcome to Iowa City, Kennington Smith at @SkinnyKenny_ on Twitter. We'll be talking every week on our Hawk Central radio show, on Hawk Central podcasts. You'll see his byline here very, very soon. And can't wait to be working together with him. And appreciate you doing this. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for listening, everyone. Talk soon.